minute. There's no meeting like this meeting. ...1987 was the first year I came. I've missed a couple, but this meeting has changed me. I know you really tried to say it last night, Pastor, but this meeting has changed this organization. And I think it would be appropriate for us to honor this church, this committee, these pastors, this leadership team, for pouring into us every year. No people on earth like the Mangans. Every major event in Heather and I's life, they have been a part of. Nobody like them. Bishop, what a word last night. Thank you. Authentic apostolic ministry. Pastor, unbelievable. The panel. And nobody likes Sister Vesta. Nobody like her. Thank you for the ministry. Lord bless you. Please be seated. September 11th, 2001 is a day that, if you're of any age and you're in this room, it's a day you'll never forget. We were stunned, we were shaken, we were frightened, and then we became angry. To think that the enemy had been living on our soil among us, training in our schools for the purpose of destroying us is something that we had a hard time dealing with. The next several months post 9/11, every branch of the military, they saw record enlistment. From all walks of life, men and women felt the call to defend the country that had been attacked on that morning. May 31st, 2002, it was 8.5 months after 9/11, that Pat and his brother, Kevin, walked into a recruiter's office in Chandler, Arizona, and they signed on the dotted line to go fight the enemy that had ripped the heart out of this nation a few months earlier. Most of the recruits were a little bit younger than Pat and Kevin. They were jobless. A lot of them were fresh out of high school, but Kevin had a promising baseball career. He was playing in the farm system for the Cleveland Indians, and his brother Pat was a star for the Arizona Cardinals for the National Football League. There's something about a call that outweighs a career. There's something about a cause worth fighting for that supersedes the monetary. There's something about a purpose that silences every paycheck. 17,316 was the annual paycheck that Pat Tillman signed up for. He turned down a multi-million dollar extension on his NFL contract, and he signed up for an annual paycheck of $17,316. Had nothing to do with the money. Had nothing to do with the fame. The spotlight was of insignificance to Pat Tillman because the nation had been attacked. And he felt the purpose to go fight for his country. Less than 2 years later, it was an evening. It was April 22nd, 2004. It was a rugged canyon in eastern Afghanistan that Pat Tillman's unit was ambushed. The unit broke into two different groups when their Humvee broke down. One group stayed low and the other went to higher ground. And unfortunately, that evening, Pat Tillman was killed on the battlefield of Afghanistan. Was determined not too long after that the wounds that killed Pat did not come from a Taliban's rifle, but the bullets that ended the life of Corporal Tillman were fired from a U.S. military weapon, and it was fired just a few short feet from where Pat was struck. The term is called fratricide. Its origin is from two Latin words, and they come from the 15th century. Fratra means this, the killing of a brother. Citium is the act of killing. It's the accidental, or it is the intentional killing of a brother. I preached to a room full of warriors today. Called, compelled, convinced, enlisted men and women of God, warriors. My friends are in this room, my brothers, my sisters, my heroes, my favorite preachers, they're warriors of the faith. I try to be like Jesus, but I'm nothing like him. But I want to quote something that he quoted in Luke. He said that I did not come to those that are whole. He said, I came to those that are sick. I didn't come to preach to warriors today that are well. But I feel an underwhelming and an overwhelming sense of responsibility to preach a specific word to a warrior in this room today that's wounded. A warrior that's been in the battle, but you sit here in this meeting today and you're wounded. My subject is wounded warriors. Pastor Gentry, you preached it not too long ago. We are at war. The body count from war, it's sad, but it's expected. Nobody's shocked at the bloodshed of a war. We expect soldiers to fall when they enlist and they go to the battlefield. Enemy fire is part of it. We are bred to understand the consequences of enemy engagement. We've been taught from an early age that hell is mean. Hell is vicious. Hell is as a roaring lion seeking whom hell may devour. And as I look around this room, I see people that hell has devoured. I see absent faces that I used to rejoice in this altar with. But hell is vicious, and hell has taken its toll. We understand that, but fratricide is incomprehensible. The killing of a brother. Proverbs 27:6 is a text that I'd like to take. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We know warriors in this room, we understand how to grieve with the widow of a fallen soldier. Pastor, you said last night you preached 28 funerals. We know how to grieve with fallen soldiers' families. We're good at it. We can do it on repeat. We're warriors. It's what we do. That's our job. Brother Tipton told me last night, he said, I'm sorry, I got to leave. I got to go up and preach a funeral. That's what warriors do. But we don't know how to deal with a brother that falls from a friendly bullet. Mick, like things we don't understand, we typically just lift up the rug and we push it under the rug, or we blame it on the devil. I've got a news flash. Pat Tillman died from friendly fire. The Taliban didn't kill Pat. We did. The Taliban wanted to kill Pat, but we killed him. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. I come to this pulpit to preach to a wounded warrior today. I come to this podium to preach to a wounded warrior's wife today. I preach to a wounded warrior's son or a wounded warrior's daughter today. Bishop, the more I travel this movement, the more I begin to look beyond the facade and I look into the eyes of warriors and I rub shoulders with warriors, and the more time I spend with my peers, the more I see. I've learned if you get close enough, you can see some things. 2 weeks ago, we were having HYC, a visiting minister that was there to preach I'd never met before. We were sitting in my office before the service began. It was at our church, and we were just kind of getting to know each other a little bit, and he was sitting right beside me by on our conference table, and he looked at my hands, and he said, I see that you've got the hands of a working man. He said, may I ask what you've been doing? Zechariah in 13 and 6, he asks a prophetic question, Brother Gleason. It's in reference to the crucifixion of the coming Christ. But Zechariah asked this question. He said, where did you receive the wounds in your hands? The heartbreaking answer is what I feel tasked to deal with in this session this afternoon. The answer in Zechariah is this: I was wounded in the house of my friends. I received those wounds in the house of a friend. Most of us in this room, we're good at camouflage. We're good at cover. Us holiness people can cover up pretty much everything but maybe our hands. Most scars can be covered, but I feel the prophetic. I feel Zechariah walking in the room today to ask a preacher, to ask a preacher's wife, to ask a warrior, where did you get those wounds? Why are your hands broken? Why are your hands bruised? Why are you so wounded? How and when did this happen? These wounds have come from the house of a friend. I think Paul says it best, and I saw this maybe for the first time just the other day in 2 Corinthians 11. If you want to put that on the screen, Paul writes this. He's talking about peril, and he said, are they ministers? I speak as a fool. I am more. He said, in labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, oft. 5 times I received stripes from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. A lot of journeys. Perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the cities. Anybody relate to Paul? Perils among false brethren, wilderness and sea and weariness and painfulness and watchings and hunger and thirst and fastings and cold and nakedness. I can deal with perils of water. I can deal with perils of robbers. Brother Hirsch and I was trained to handle the peril of the city. Brother McGovern, I've been raised to live in the wilderness, and I understand that peril. Perils of heathen. We've all been instructed how to deal with that. I've been taught to handle weariness and painfulness and hunger and even thirst. I was born in the house of a warrior. I cut my teeth in the home of two warriors, J.R. and Betty Blackshear. It's what we do, gentry. This is who we are. We're in the warrior business. But there is a particular peril that brings me pain. Paul talked about it. There's a particular peril that I want to discuss today. The peril of mine own countrymen. King David's one of my favorite Bible characters. He's a warrior of all warriors. The list of armies and the list of nations that fell to his sword was long. Matter of fact, I began to write them out and just said, forget it, it's too long. The death toll is great. David can boldly proclaim to any giant, not just Goliath, but any giant, you come to me with a sword, a shield, and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. David can attack Goliath with nothing but a sling. David's got no issue with Goliath's spear. But when Saul throws a spear, everything changes. I preach today to a David that has been afflicted by the spear of Saul. It's a peril of his own countrymen. And unlike any other peril that he's ever faced, it sends him to a cave. The anointed king of Israel is sent to a cave. I'm preaching to a David today. I understand this audience, and I feel like the Lord has given me divine direction. I'm preaching to a David today that used to roam the valley of Elah with nothing but a sling. I can't tell you how many times I've left this meeting. Brother Weber, I've gotten up off of my face in this altar, and I didn't need a sermon. All I needed was a sling. And I went back to Anchorage, Alaska with nothing but a sling. I didn't need anything else but a sling. I walked up and down every valley that God sent my way. I'm preaching to a David today that used to roam the valleys of Elah robed with nothing but a sling. But now I'll preach to some cave dwellers this morning. I'll preach to somebody that's in this room that you've been driven into the cave by peril of your own countrymen. Preach to David today that mourns the day Samuel came to your house. There's men of God, I know this, that have walked into this service today, that you have come to the conclusion that Samuel picked the wrong brother. It's going to change today. Let me just prophetically tell you, there will be a divine healing in this room. I've not just come to point out the perilous. I've not just come to talk about the realities. I've come to tell you God is going to heal the body of Christ today. God is going to find a David in a cave today and is going to pull you out and is going to find a healing. Maybe Jesse had it right. Maybe my calling was just to the field of my father's sheep. Maybe Samuel did pick the wrong brother. When kings question their callings, hell wins. Where'd you get those wounds, David? It's in the house of Saul. When an anointed man of God, please hear me, when an anointed man of God throws a spear at another anointed man of God, everything changes. Brother Woodward, when giants fight, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I've come to the conclusion in the last 3 or so decades of ministry, I've come to the conclusion hell cannot hurt me, but you can. There's some dispensations, or there's some principalities, and there's some devils in the region that I live, and I've come to the conclusion not one of them can hurt me, not one of them can defeat me, not one of them can destroy me, but there's a lot of people in this room that your spears can wound me. The Taliban didn't kill Pat. We did. Apostolic Church needs a fresh revelation of who our enemy is, and maybe more importantly, who our enemy is not. I want to say it again. The Apostolic Church needs a fresh revelation of who the enemy is, and maybe more importantly, who the enemy is not. I know some preachers that need to go to a rifle range and sight in your weapon because it's misfiring. Tyler, thank you, sir. We need a baptism of kindness. We need a baptism of kindness. I'm going to say it until we understand it. We need a baptism of kindness. We need it. We've got to have it. The bullet still wounds, whether it comes from an online forum, or whether it comes from a coffee room table, or whether it comes from a board, I don't care where it comes from. The bullet still wounds, and friendly fire still kill warriors. Joseph can handle 13 years of a process. Joseph can deal with the propaganda of Potiphar's wife. It's tough, but he can deal with it. Joseph can endure the broken promises of the butler and of the baker. But the memory of what his brothers did, the wounds inflicted by his own, the peril of his own countrymen, it's still in his spirit, Brother Williams, when his brothers now come begging for food. I don't have time to preach that story, but what a story. He had to deal with it when his brethren that threw him in the pit, not to be sold, but to die. There's a difference when they come begging for bread. The humanity of Jesus Christ on the cross is what we all attain unto. The nails, the stripes, the crown, maybe the spittle. But I tell you what I think made Calvary the most difficult. It was this. He came to his own. Everybody in the room understands the pain when somebody walks out those doors. He came to his own. And his own, they received him not. And I would venture to say his own hurt him the most. Hey, wounded warrior, I preach to you today. I don't know where you're sitting in this audience, and I don't know where you're sitting in this crowd, but I know you're in here, and I preach to a wounded warrior today. I preach to a wounded warrior's wife today. I preach to the family of a wounded warrior today. God knows where you are, and there's going to be an apostolic healing that's going to take place in this service today. I've been hurt the deepest by the ones I've loved the most. Can I talk about the DNA of a wound? 11 years ago, thank you in this room that are my friends that have prayed for me. 11 years ago, next month, I can't believe it's been that long, I had a horrific injury. I was installing a projector in our auditorium. My sweet wife and I love my wife. I pulled her out of San Diego and put her on an iceberg 31 years ago. God bless my wife. We had lunch and I was antsy. And she said, "What's up?" And I said, "The projector was just delivered. I got to go to the church. We've got a district meeting. I got to go." And she said, "Do not install the projector." I said, "Okay." I went to the church and I installed the projector. And when I was on the top of the ladder, probably the sticker that said, "Don't stand here," was ripped off. But as I was on the top of the ladder, and I had taken the projector all the way down, and I was getting ready to go down the ladder did one of these numbers, and I fell and broke a lot of things. My L1 in my spine was basically broken into pieces, and some of those fragments were in my spinal column. And if it were not for the grace of God and your prayers, I should be paralyzed. 11 years ago is a long time. 4,035 days, if you're wondering. One would think my back could be trained. But still to this day, when I seek chiropractic care or any other type of physical therapy, there's a wound that says no. The muscles that surround that vertebrae feel it is their obligation. They feel it's their duty in life not to let any hand touch it or deal with it. And they bow up and they strengthen themselves. And most physical therapists say, "I can't really do anything until that muscle relaxes." It does not matter that the hands were there to help. There is no understanding to the wound that the hands are there to help, Brother Gurley. It's completely irrelevant that they're healing hands. It's completely irrelevant that the hands are there to fix the problem, but the DNA of that wound says this: stay away from me. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't try to fix it. Let it be. It's just what my body does. I'm telling you about a personal wound. It's what my body does. Let me just say this very slow. I have tried to just let it go. It's not that easy. The wound cannot be touched. It's trying to protect itself from further damage. I'm going to be transparent here. I wonder, Bishop, how many have walked away from truth? I'm a propagator of the apostolic message. There's not a fiber in my spirit that loves anything else but this apostolic word. But I want to ask you a question today. I wonder how many have walked away from truth simply because there's been a wound. I wonder how many have run into immorality because the DNA of a wound. At a time when kings went forth to battle, I wonder how many that used to sit among us have made irrational decisions because the pain and the life-altering ramification of a wound. I wonder how many warriors, come on, David, I'm talking to you. I wonder how many warriors live in caves today because of Saul's words and Saul's actions and another anointed man of God's deeds. Wounds cause us to do irrational things. We need every hand on the plow. There's an apostolic church in Corinth. We need every hand on the plow. This damn team I love with all of my heart. I got demoted from that team a few months ago. I want to build 10 churches at Anchorage and we're on our way. Every city needs a church. Every town and every village needs a church. We need every voice in the mix. We need every voice in the mix. We need every called warrior on the field. But the wounded are not ready for battle. It's time for a healing in the kingdom of God. I said it's time for a kingdom healing. It's time for a healing in the kingdom of God. It's time for every warrior to have a wound healed. I don't make excuses for anybody that's walked away from what we know is the apostolic message, and I do not give any license to anybody that's walked into immorality, but I think sometimes we ought to understand the DNA and the damage that wounds cause. I repeat, those that have laid down the uniform, I weep for them. Maybe it's not wise, but I don't know, but I still text some of them. Some of my favorite preachers that have been trapped and they've gone into sin and whatever the case may be, that's between them and God, but I still feel for them. Let me tell you what, we don't hear a lot of preaching about that this man is exampled better than anybody I know. Those that are spiritual. Where are those sermons? Restore. Those that are spiritual. I want to restore the fallen. I want to restore wounded warriors. But sometimes we just let them go back to fishing. They just go back to fishing. The reality is this, wounded warriors don't do well in battle. Wounded warriors don't do well in battle. Here's what I've learned, that a wound has no logical discernment of its origin. A wound has no logical discernment of its origin. You hunters in there, you've all seen videos of a whitetail that's trapped in a fence, and people try to come and free the animal, and the animal resists the help. We're not trying to kill you. We're just trying to help you. I repeat, a wound has no logical discernment of its origin. Drowning people drowned people. Need I say it? Make hurt people hurt people. Can I put this twist on it? Wounded warriors wound warriors. We need a healing in the apostolic church. Don't tell me the bullet was friendly. Don't tell me it was accidental. Don't tell me it's just the fog of war. Because my wounds have no logical discernment from whence they came. There may be a term called friendly fire, but there is nothing called a friendly wound. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The spirit of a man, Proverbs says, will sustain his infirmity. But there's a comma there, and it says, but a wounded spirit. Who can carry it? Who can bear it? Who can lift it? Who can endure it? I don't give a pass, but I do say we need some understanding among us of wounded warriors. I know some wounds are self-inflicted. Some are intentional, some are accidental. Some are from a stray bullet. Some are from a friend. But the pain of that wound does not subside based on its source. It's a wound. I close. If you'll stand with me. When you came in, hopefully you were given communion. Can I make this statement, and you must not misunderstand it? We don't need a hospital. We need a healing. The veteran system of Pentecost is overwhelmed. We need a healing. There's too many prosthetics in Pentecost. Wounded warriors are inefficient on the battlefield, Brother Sistrunk. There's too many bruises on the battlefield. Hell has learned it doesn't have to kill us, just wound a percentage. But there's going to be a healing because of the times, 2024, because there is a great job to do. And there is a church in Corinth to build. And there is a revival in this movement that's coming. And God needs every warrior on the field. It's time for a healing. It's time for a healing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I've preached from that, but I don't understand it. Father, forgive them. What if we could get that baptism, Shannon? Father, forgive them. I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again. I've been hurt by those that I've loved the deepest. But let there be a transparency in us enough. Let there be a transparency in us enough today to climb upon an operating table and let the great physician's healing hand do a work in this room. God is going to heal. There will be a deep healing right now. And when we partake of this communion, the Holy Ghost is going to do a mass healing in this room. We took communion last night and it was so powerful. But here's something that I just saw that I've never seen before. Isaiah 53 says he was despised and rejected. Can I get a witness? He was a man of sorrows. He was wounded. He was bruised. He bore our grief. He carried my sorrow. With his stripes, it's not past tense. It is current tense. We are healed. Luke 4, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. That's not just for sinners. I've come to heal brokenhearted warriors. I've come to heal brokenhearted warriors' wives. David, I'm looking for you today. Come to set at liberty them that are bruised. I guard my wounds. I protect my bruises, but it's so hard to do battle and to protect my wounds. Bruised warriors are not effective on the battlefield, but there's healing coming. When we partake of the bread, and when we drink of the cup, God is going to reenact Isaiah 53 in this room. It shall be. He was touched. You know what that means? He felt the feeling of my infirmity. Paul said this, that when you partake of, he said that you're showing the Lord's death till he come. Do you realize that part of his death was not just for our forgiveness, but it was for our healing? 1 Corinthians, and I want you to take the cup and the bread. He said, thank you, Pastor. He said, this is my body, which was broken. It's amazing to me that not a bone of his body was broken, but Paul writes, this is my body, which was broken. Do you think possibly he was talking about us? The body of Christ. I preach to a broken body today, and you're broken from wounds and some from a wound of a brother. But there's healing virtue in the house. There's healing virtue. And if you're with your spouse, if you're with your family, I want you to grab them. Not a bone of his body was broken, but there's brokenness today. He was wounded for our healing. He was bruised for our healing. He was beaten for our healing. And I believe this, that when we partake of this bread, there shall be a healing that flows in this room. I want you to take of the bread and of the cup. From one side to the other, Holy Ghost, let it flow. I'm finished. You know what you need to do. From the back to the front, let healing, let a warrior be released.
Surely,
let a warrior be released.
Our sorrow.
Let a king come out of the cave right now. Let a giant killer pick up their sling today. Let a Joseph pass out bread today.
He was wounded for our transgression.
Come on, let the Holy Ghost operate right now. If you need to find somebody, find them. If you need to find a place to pray, find a place to pray. The battlefield needs you.
Transgression. Can be.